Hello, friends. I'm Tara Quintana, a board-certified family nurse practitioner and IFM-certified functional medicine specialist who believes in utilizing functional medicine strategies in order to provide a more comprehensive approach for optimal health. The current model of care in healthcare is very lacking, which led me down the road of functional medicine. Functional medicine is a systems biology approach which looks at uncovering the root causes for the symptoms we're having in order to allow for healing versus simply applying a band-aid to the situation. I feel so strongly about this that I had to leave my conventional medicine practice. While conventional medicine thrives with acute care issues, there is much to be desired with regards to chronic conditions. No longer could I practice in an institution where volume of patients rather than optimization of health was its driving force. I started my own practice, specializing in functional medicine, where I work with my clients to uncover their unique story, utilizing the functional medicine timeline and matrix, identifying the antecedents, triggers, and mediators driving the disease process assists with getting to the root causes of the symptoms in order to allow for healing. This personalized approach leads to improved health outcomes. If you want to work with me and live in Indiana, head on over to my website at www.thefunctionalnursepractitioner.com and click the link to book your free introductory call. Just a quick disclaimer that this podcast is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose or be a substitute for medical advice from your practitioner. Also, if you like what you hear on the show, I would be real appreciative if you would leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening from, and subscribe to the show. Let's dive in.
My friends, get ready for a fabulous conversation. We have a very special guest on the show today, Dr. Brandi Zachary. Dr. Z is a fifth-generation entrepreneur, award-winning practice owner, and founder of the Functional Medicine Academy. With a $0 to $1.8 million launch, she transforms health entrepreneurs' strategies. Dr. Z is also the creator of LabDX software, which revolutionizes lab analysis globally. Her proven ability to thrive in any business environment, coupled with a patient-centered, efficient, and profitable approach, positions Dr. Z as a sought-after trainer for functional medicine practitioners. Dr. Z, welcome to the Functional Nurse Practitioner Podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here. We have so much to cover today, Dr. Z, and I'm sure my listeners and viewers are eagerly awaiting the information we will get into. But first, most of us have traveled down the functional medicine pathway were inspired to do so for personal reasons. We all have a story, Dr. Z, and we would love to know the why behind your journey into functional medicine.
Well, it's interesting. My license is as a DC, a doctor of chiropractic, going back, 20 some years. And I had that practice for a while. It was successful. And then I had a car accident that put me out of practice. So I had a completely different business for quite some time. And I still trained and coached health and wellness practitioners, and really all sorts of people who needed to get clients. So I didn't think I would work directly in healthcare again. But I got terribly sick, sort of at the peak of that business. It was going really well. It was a 7-figure business. Life was quite grand. I was super happy. My first book had just gotten published by McGraw-Hill out of New York. And so, challenges weren't on my radar. And I just woke up like terribly sad one day and didn't know why, what was going on. And it took a while to connect all the pieces. But at first, I was just like trying to live life, like a typical patient. Like are you there?
I'm here.
Sorry, you just disappeared on me. There you are. So even with the training and background I had in holistic health at the time, I was just, a businesswoman and a single mom and living life And even though it was good, you know, I was moving too fast. And so when things went wrong, I just did exactly what my doctor said to do. I had a lot to lose. I didn't want to lose it. So I was a very good patient. But instead of getting better, I just got sicker and sicker to the point where I had to lose everything, close the business, walk away, move home and live with my mom. I was in bed like 22 hours a day. I was declared permanently disabled by Social Security disability and told I'd never work again. It sucked. And so for 3 years, I was suffering while also trying to research and figure out what had happened to me. And that was my first encounter with a functional medicine practitioner because, you know, a while into it, I had 7 specialists and 8 prescriptions. I was in the hospital every couple of weeks and I wasn't any better. And the future was pretty bleak, right? You know, I think yeah. Social Security disability was like $900 a month at the time and it was just really dismal. So I also then decided to reactivate my license. I hadn't kept my license active because I was coaching and consulting. And so that was a lot of continuing ed to go back and do and retaking tests and, you know, wow. all sorts of things. And I wanted to reactivate my license so I could order my own labs. So it was all very personal and selfishly motivated in the beginning. And then I was just fascinated with everything I learned and felt like, how could not everyone know this? I wanted them all to know this. And then when people see it, you know, saw me start to get better, I decided to start my first functional medicine clinic. So that's sort of, you know, how it started, but it was a really murky 3 years of like exiting the world and then having to come back to the land of the living. So not for the faint of heart, for sure. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
No, and that's a very extended period of time, even if it wasn't an extended period of time. Just hearing such a bleak diagnosis, I have some kind of understanding, not for that length of time, but told with my past that I can't outrun my crap genes, basically, and my future is going to be basically on dialysis or in a wheelchair, and I could barely walk. It was terrifying, and I thought I had cancer, and I spent months, but not years. I cannot imagine the impact, just like on the soul, right? Like, and like you going into functional medicine for personal reasons, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you can't unknow the things that you learn when you come to this space.
Absolutely.
It's life changing in every way.
I wanted everyone to know. I'm like that. If I learn anything good, my immediate response is to tell everyone else. I've been that way my whole life. And so I've always been a teacher at heart and a big sister, and I just like helping other people. So no matter what I've done or where I've been, you know, that's probably my number one driving force is to help others. And if at any point I can have them not suffer the way I have, or do something smoother or faster or easier, I find that very satisfying. Like, I just want to make it better for the person right behind me.
Yeah. And honestly, I love that you got your license back to order your own testing.
It's absolutely why I did it, because they wouldn't give me any answers. And I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated. Yeah. They wouldn't order the labs. They wouldn't give me answers. I think I read all of PubMed in 3 years. Yes. And so it took a long time to figure out what had happened. But I'll tell you the very short medical side of it was I had a UTI, super common in women. I went and took antibiotics for it. It didn't go away. And so it was prescribed again the next month, 4 months in a row.
Oh, goodness.
And then that became a kidney infection. And so then double antibiotics, IV in the hospital. And then after that, I had my gut was trashed. I had a systemic candida infection. And it took a long time to learn that systemic candida can reactivate Epstein-Barr. Mm. And so, and again, these were all labs that I had to order myself. And then Epstein-Barr was in full force. It was just a mess. It was just really a mess. And I went down every medical avenue there was, and they really didn't have the answers for me. And so to even be able to function, you know, I run a now 8-figure business. from my laptop in the Caribbean. And
that's awesome.
To even function at all is huge considering where I came from, let alone, you know, be able to thrive in that way.
Yes.
But it's not like everything went away. We uncovered in my 30s that I have a primary immunodeficiency, which is really rare, about 1 in 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's no known cure for that. Doesn't mean I don't keep trying to find one, but there's no known cure. I'm actually going to go to a stem cell clinic and submit my body to science, see what we can come up with. So I'm always working on those things, but it has definitely led me to not just look for horses, but sometimes look for zebras in my functional medicine practice.
I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because I think sometimes even those of us practicing in a functional medicine space might have the mindset that it's either functional medicine or conventional medicine, and it's one or the other. When I'm of the mindset, I want to figure out why, what's going on, the why behind it, like the how behind it. And if I need to travel down a conventional, more traditional pathway, I'm going to travel down that pathway if I need to, right?
Absolutely. That's what I advocate for patients and for practitioners. Yeah. So I'm actually, our rooms are very different than most in the medical space and in functional medicine as a whole. They're very collaborative. Every license is in there and they get along incredibly well. People would normally argue outside the rooms. They don't argue in our rooms because of the way I teach them. There's just too much demand. There's not enough practitioners. There's room for everyone. You know, the initials after your name determines your scope that you practice to, but not your success. And so I teach all of
that.
Yeah. I have unlicensed medical practitioners, you know, health coaches who out earn an MD. So
there's room for everyone.
Yeah. And there's room for everyone. And someone could decide they just want to do upper digestion and have a very simple practice and still help a lot of people. And someone else and be very happy, right? And someone else is going to go down the rabbit hole and do the complex cases, and someone's going to co-manage medically, and someone's just going to refer out, you know, it's all good. And
yeah. And the bottom line is the individual we're helping.
Always.
Like that's the most important part. And that's what I say to all of my patients and clients that I work with, that I'm always going to prioritize them, how they feel, their symptoms over any lab, any day, while I believe in labs and looking, digging deeper, right? I find it's not usually just one thing. It's lots of things. It's a combination of different things. You brought up something, a term I don't think a lot of viewers and listeners might be familiar with. And I wanted to get a little bit more into CVID, common variable immune deficiency, like what it is, what it may mean for an individual, how it may be managed in allopathic medicine, and of course, the impact of functional medicine with the diagnosis. And I know CVID is a diagnosis of exclusion. So let's start there. What does that mean for the viewer?
So, I mean, first of all, it's weird that it's called common variable immunodeficiency because it's such a rare disease. But since there's 600 of them, it's the most common of those 600 rare immunodeficiencies. The way I describe it to patients is, unlike, you know, strengthening your immune system where you think of like a football team that you need to get into shape, this is like half the football team didn't show up to practice. And so in my case, I don't make enough immunoglobulins. I don't make enough IgG and IgA, which is really problematic. You know, IgA is your first line of defense in your mucous membrane. So sinus infections, throat infections, GI infections, it's really problematic. I mean, I could tell you, just in the last 2.5 months, I had COVID for the first time. I had two different pathological parasites. I had two different strains of C. diff. I had rotavirus.
Oh my goodness.
I had typhoid. So that's just 2.5 months into the year. And like I said, I still run an eight-figure business. But it's not a piece of cake. Like if you go by movies, it's like The Bubble Boy. You know, the bubble boy had a primary immunodeficiency. So I've caught four PI cases, primary immunodeficiency cases, in my functional medicine last 7 years, 8 years. And that's really uncommon because yeah. most immunologists in the medical realm, unless they're in a teaching hospital, their specialty is really allergy and immunology. And almost all their cases are allergy. And then immunology, it's going to be a little bit of this, that, and the other. So they may only have four patients like me over the entire course of their medical career, if that. So one of the most difficult things for patients like me is to get accurate medical care. And I always, even though it's not that common, I always teach my practitioners how to screen for it because it's not that complex to screen for. Mm-hmm. The biggest things to notice is if you have like a GI map and SIG-A is incredibly low, you start hearing a history of frequent colds and infections, especially as a kid, and they lasted longer than everyone else, and they were worse than everyone else. And then you just order, the first piece, there's more tests, but the first piece is just to order an immunoglobulin panel for immunoglobulins and see if one or two of them are low. And then at that point, you can do further testing and also refer to immunologists. But, you know, despite the medical trauma I've endured, and I definitely have, I'm still a big fan of, you know, modern medicine when you need it. Yes. The biggest thing I teach my patients, which I think is a really hard lesson, is that you're going to always be your best advocate. And sadly, it's almost like you have to become an expert in your own body. So thank goodness they have functional medicine practitioners. But even with functional medicine, I'm always telling the patient, like, you live in your body. When I teach classes to them, right? You live in your body. You take that body to your functional medicine practitioner. You take it to that medical doctor, and being able to discern, you know, what to say yes to. And I mean, it's just not the easiest task. So it's part of why there's so much education we have to give our patients. Mm-hmm. But I'll just even take a recent example. When the last infection I had, I needed traditional medical care for it. But out of the list of like seven things, I used three, you know, the other four were going to make things worse. I used herbs and natural medicine for that. So
I love that.
That's the hard piece that we want to educate patients as much as we can. And then, I think that's probably one of our biggest roles, actually, beyond solving the mystery, which I know we all love to solve a mystery. But I think the biggest role is to, you know, be their translator and be the one who looks at everything as a whole, where, you know, conventional medicine, that's not their job, right? Emergency room is to keep you alive. But it's not life threatening. Kick you to another department. And that department is to check out the organs within that scope. And they're looking for a disease process. So, I would not be out of bed if it wasn't for functional medicine.
Yeah. And you said like conventional medicine looking for the disease, right? And what I try to teach my patients, and actually anybody that'll listen, because I talk about this all the time, everybody that I know and on this podcast, is that, like you said, we have to be our biggest advocate. Right? We need to think about our health stress, because health stress is significant. Our feelings about what's happening to us can steer the pathway, like actually can make a treatment work or not work. Right? And all of these things matter. But I try to emphasize, like you said, to be their own biggest advocate. And when I'm working on a treatment plan, it isn't, here's your script. I write a lot of scripts, right? But here's your script, go do this, and I'll see you when I see you. It's, let's talk about options, right? There's all of these different things that may help, and let's talk about that. Let's talk about the advantages or disadvantages, and what does somebody want to do, right? I see a lot of people that see other practitioners or conventional medicine practitioners, and they have, you know, standing antibiotics for all kinds mm-hmm. of things, right? And I'm like, are you taking them? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, or other medications, and their other doctor thinks they're taking them, but they're not. So there's like a disconnect, almost like you go to see your provider, but you already know walking in the door that they're not listening. And I want to help to change that perception,
Because they could only hear part of it, you know? So that's another thing that sets the functional medicine practitioner apart, is being willing to listen to all of it and consider all of it with very non-judgmental ears, which I think is really, really important. I teach my practitioners to do more visits, not less. And I always tell them, like, when we're talking marketing, I'm like, you're going to be disappointed and find this shocking, but the patient doesn't want another chore. They're not paying you for a visit or to pee on a litmus test or to swallow some supplements or to change their diet. That all sounds terrible to them. But what they will pay you for is a transformation or information or knowledge, right? And then once you like identify how you're going to serve them, that becomes very marketable. We spend a lot of time helping people with this, and that's really what they're buying. Then they will tolerate the visits and the diet change and, you know, all those things to get the results. But for patient compliance and best results, we always want them to be successful. It's more visits, not less. As you scale, there can be group visits, there can be other practitioners, there can be health coaches. There's a lot of options, but there has to be human contact and connection to have a transformation. They can't just do this on their own. Otherwise, they would just go to Dr. Google and they would just get a handout and they would just do it on their own. But it doesn't work like that. Myself, like everything I know and everything I teach, I have practitioners too, because we're humans and we need accountability and we need someone who has that 5,000 foot view and all those things.
Yes, it's hard to see clearly when it's yourself.
Oh yeah. What you were saying about mindset and all that, it's so tough too. Like, I think of depression as a symptom of something that's going on, not an actual condition in itself. And so it's really tough though, when anyone is experiencing depression, I mean, their microbiome could be out of balance. What is it, like Citrobacter being elevated is known to have a greater impact on depression and anxiety than the limbic system. And so it's so hard to override that and do all the things that are supposed to help you with depression when you feel like you don't want to do any of those. So I'm a big fan of like believing the patient, whatever their symptoms are, whatever their complaints are, even when it doesn't make sense, like just 100% believe their experience. Go try to figure out or learn what's, you know, if it doesn't make sense, why does it not make sense? Go try to figure that out. What physiological cause or reason is behind it? And then how can I create some palliative relief for them so they can even start making the lifestyle changes? Because a lot of people just get too sick to do the things they know they should do.
Yes, that would be like bringing somebody in, like taking on a new patient and then giving them a list of 28 things that they need to do prior to the next visit, remove everything from your diet, take 100 supplements, do all these things, and they can't even get out of bed and they're not hardly eating. We definitely need to meet people where they're at. That's crucial. How has your experience as a CVID survivor influenced your approach to treating patients with chronic diseases in your practice?
I had to interrupt today's conversation to let you know about a new ebook I've just released, Understanding Perimenopause and Menopause. Be sure to grab your free copy. Yes, my friends, it is completely free. Link in the show notes. Now back to today's episode.
It made me become a bit of a specialist in complex cases, which I don't recommend for everyone, because people start flying in and bringing in their like 7 inches of medical records. And it definitely, you know, it can be a little flattering, but it's a little complicated depending on what kind of practice you want to lead. But I'm good at noticing patterns. So I actually created a nomenclature for a metabolic condition 4 years ago and started presenting that to other physicians and practitioners and started using that with patients. So really tying together, this patient comes in with a lot of nondescript symptoms and you can't, everything's wrong, but you can't figure out what is wrong. And, you know, so I started doing that because I had so many of those cases. Like I said, I found a fair amount of, primary immunodeficiency, which is really uncommon, found some other unusual things. I just had weird cases walk into my office. So it was a great learning experience. It grew me clinically for sure.
Yeah. And what I've found is when we experience things that are unpleasant and difficult, right? With everybody experiences something like this, as some difficult challenges throughout their life, that I like to look at it as there was a reason for it, right? I was already in healthcare. My background's oncology, hospice, and then a total shift with women's health, which was wonderful. And then when everything started to go awry for me, and I almost couldn't see a future for myself. Now looking back and all that I went through, I feel like there was a reason for that, because it changed my life. It changed, not only did it changed my health and my path, but my desire for how to help individuals changed dramatically, right? And you brought up Epstein-Barr reactivation, right? And I know there's a lot of information. I try to stay off of TikTok. I don't really watch TikTok, but I know there's a lot of information out there about infections and mycotoxins and viruses and things. And it gets talked about so flippantly, I feel like. And, mm-hmm. or like, it's just like an interesting conversation when it actually can have a significant impact on somebody's health, because I do a lot of expanded testing. I've done a lot of testing on myself, and it was terrifying when I saw the results. I'm like, what don't I have wrong with me? Right. Mm-hmm. And then that's where I was in a dark place, right? I'm hopeless according to conventional medicine. I'm like, well, what do I have to lose? Right. So my life's already over. So I might as well try and go down this road. And I realized that what I feel about it, what I think about it matters. Any infection, like for me, was chronic Lyme and mold. And I feel like lots of people have issues with infections, and there's a reason why they're reactivated, right? But they can have a dramatic impact on somebody's health. And in particular, I think about the immune system, right? I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer if it's an infection. So think about the immune system, but the impact across the entire immune system, right? And the impact with the gut, like you said, all of these infections and then this persistent, you know, systemic candida, which is very troublesome, difficult, yep. And difficult to treat, right? And scary, because then it's like, I think about it like we have lots of different microbes. That's normal. And even to have some candida, if it's in check, right, we can have different microbes and they're playing in the sandbox nicely, right? But when one thing can start to go awry, and then something else blooms, and then something else blooms, it's like somebody else recently that one of my patients got COVID, and then they went down like a trajectory they didn't want to go, and come to find out they also, you know, they had a history of Epstein-Barr. I mean, I already knew that, but it was definitely dramatically impacting their life. So I feel like it's so important, especially since you teach other practitioners to really think outside the box, right? And swim upstream and hear your patients.
Yes, absolutely. And also, you know, when I teach, because I teach, you know, the general public and patients also, right? So it's a different conversation depending on who I'm talking to. But without trying to sound like, you know, doomsday and dismal, because there's always things we could do, right? Obviously, I believe that and live my life that way. You know, if you just look at like the history of the change in food supply and chemicals and our environment, and the impact that's had, you can just see the generational change and how well we are, right? So when you look at like grandma or great grandma, some of us for sure aren't as sturdy as she was. And so you have a changed terrain. And then as this terrain is getting more troubled, what we deal with in the environment is getting more virulent. And so the immune challenges and the mycotoxins and the endotoxins and the chemical exposure and other things are getting stronger. So, you know, where that meets can be particularly troublesome. And sometimes I would be teaching patients like, how to not judge one another or judge other members in their family. Like if you're someone who doesn't have any health challenges, you're not understanding why that person is super sensitive to smells or noise or fatigues or easily or gets sick too often, having understanding and compassion, like gratitude that you're not dealing with that, but understanding they have a different terrain and a different level of sensitivity. They can't just tough it up and, you know, pick themselves up by their bootstraps. And so I think awareness around the general public and patients is very important for people to understand. So I do try to educate them on that. And then, you know, some of the things like functional medicine being sort of a luxury, you know, a lot of times with finances, it is definitely a privileged standpoint, but the care, looking at the body as a whole and some of the lifestyle changes is becoming, you know, no longer someone who wanted to have their body in like primo condition or someone who was really sick, but almost like a necessary defense for surviving the day. For people who want to like age well, and have a better experience than, you know, everything functional medicine is teaching and advising you to do becomes an absolute necessity. And I've discovered it personally myself because, you know, I'm human like everyone else. And anytime I can shortcut it, I want to shortcut it. And some of the health choices I've had to make for myself, when I shortcut it, at first it seems like, oh, it's not that bad. And then you can handle it. And then the problems are just a little troublesome. And then it just like all goes downhill. And it's so much harder climbing back out again. So another thing I try to set up my practitioners is so they keep their patients, you know, a very affordable way to sort of maintain them and keep them on the healthy path so they don't completely fall off the wagon and have to start over again. But it's very much human nature. Even with candida, which we mentioned, the vast majority don't truly eradicate candida. It's a problem. They just lowered enough to feel okay enough until the next spike. And that's just the way most people are. So another thing I like to teach practitioners is understanding human beings. They'll be less frustrated if they understand what their tendencies are and can build their programs to really help them in that way.
Yes. So. And we're all unique and different, right? And what is going to impact one person may not impact another person. And I'm a fan of education as well. And thinking about the individual's predisposition. It's not everything, but it matters. So I actually do a lot of genetic testing because I'm just a total nerd, to be honest. And I think it can be empowering, not for everyone. Some people, like my sister's like, she doesn't want to know because she said it for right now in her life, she doesn't want anything that's going to add more stress. So it's about, for me, it's about meeting somebody where they're at. What are they willing to do? That's usually the first question I ask someone after I do a deep dive with them. Is what are you willing to do? Because if they're not willing, whatever they're not willing to do, they're not going to do, right? And there's so many different ways that we can improve health versus conventional medicine, where it's usually like, if you have this, you do this, right? And if that doesn't work, then you take this, that it's a shift, right? And I talk about functional medicine a lot on this podcast. I even have a video, which I'll link up here if you're watching on YouTube, the differences between functional medicine and conventional medicine to watch later. But for the listeners, if you're not familiar with the term functional medicine, can you speak a little bit about this approach, this systems biology approach, looking to uncover the root causes of illness? How exactly does this approach differ when treating chronic diseases?
Okay. So, you know, conventional medicine is usually trying to like narrow down to the smallest thing, have a pill or a surgical solution. Not that they're bad. It's just, it's regulated by insurance. So it's what is statistically significant, that an insurance company will pay that will be a reproducible impact in enough people. So it's a complete antithesis of functional medicine that wants to look at you as an individual. So most conventional medicine is not set up to be able to handle you as an individual. It's just not the nature of how it works. Functional medicine, This is why you don't have a huge patient base, and you don't need a huge patient base to be hugely successful. You get to go deeper and farther with your patients. And so you're going to look at everything, you know, who they are, where they came from, generational issues, whether genetics or trauma, energy, mindset, gut, diet, illness, disease, and, you know, subclinical things, all of that. And we look at things in terms of a pathway and a function. So like, for example, if someone has a thyroid condition, we don't just say, okay, well, let's deal with the thyroid. We say, why? You know, why does someone have a thyroid condition? It could be a metal issue, could be an immune issue. Yes. It could be a gut microbiome issue. It could be an allergy response. It could be triggered by another hormone. So we try to ask why, and then we back up a little bit, and then we ask another why. So we see how far back we can go in the path to make a difference there. And if we do it right and triage it correctly, we get to, you know, like one ball, knock down several pins. And so someone might even show up with like a list of issues, but if we solve like maybe the top third of the list, the other ones tend to filter away, you know, it's like dominoes. So yes, that's the goal. And then to maintain it. And I think one of the most important things about functional medicine, besides, you know, sometimes looking for zebras instead of horses, but and listening to the patient and all of that, I think the most important thing of functional medicine is helping people make lifestyle changes that don't fit society. Like, it's society doesn't make it easy to make those changes, but yeah, people need to make these changes to be healthy. And so how can we figure out the best way to do that? And sometimes that's through a solution like a supplement, but a lot of times it's through like habit formation and habit breaking and coaching and mindset. And that's like the hardest work. I think we as practitioners, we all get focused on learning the complex pathways and labs. I love labs. I created the world's only lab analysis tool that has all our favorite functional medicine tests in it. And now I know why no one else did it. It took me over 4 years. Wow. It's a lot of work. And actually the first one I made over 7 years ago. So it's really been a labor of love. So I really do love labs, but the absolute hardest work, I think, is getting people to do what they need.
Yeah, that was the hardest part for me. I did those things last. I wanted to know, what do I take? Right. My road in functional medicine was very selfish at first, because I was trying to figure out how I was going to survive. Right. And I mean, I have a lot to say about those in functional medicine space as well, or at least some. So many practitioners are using the same conventional medicine mindset: diagnose the ill, give a pill or a supplement or some magical protocol that's generic. I know you studied and were certified in functional medicine through IFM, the Institute of Functional Medicine. I cannot say enough wonderful things about IFM. I'm, of course, biased, as I also spent countless hours learning and becoming certified through IFM. I wanted that magical supplement. That's why I actually, I don't know if I coined the phrase, but I feel like I use it all the time. What's the magical supplement for the dis-ease, right? Because I was looking for that. Like in the chat, it was me that was constantly asking, what do I take? What do I take? And there's no one answer, right? No. And honestly, I tried so many different things because I wanted to feel better, right? But it was the things that are the hardest, they're also free, that I didn't want to do. They're free, but they come at a cost. Right. So getting in touch with my stress in my life was very difficult, because I'm a very motivated individual, and I'm a go-getter. And I used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And yeah, then I'll just die faster. Right. Mm-hmm. And now I have a very different philosophy. But you mentioned something earlier, which I think is, I really want to underscore it. Right. You said that even though you've come so far on your health journey, sometimes something can still knock us down, right?
Oh, yeah.
And because you're not perfect, Lord knows I'm not perfect, right? Or it could just be a fluke that something happens. But for me, I find it's usually has to do with stress, right? That I don't take breaks. I'm preaching, take 5 minutes every so often and 20 minutes and stand up and get circulation and clear your mind. Don't look at your phone as soon as you wake up. Don't check your email before you go to bed. And there are times, because I'm focusing on something, that I am looking at my email before I go to bed. And my husband is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I know. It'll just take me a minute. Then I don't feel good. I don't sleep as well. The next day, I feel like trash. Not every time. And if I only do it once, maybe not. But I've like met my capacity for things, and I'm like on that line, right? I'm like teetering on that line, and I don't want to feel bad. So I have a very solid why. And it definitely sounds like you have a very solid why, but I think it's important for the listener to really understand, even if we do the things, even if we have the training, the knowledge, we know, like, this is why I'm doing it and I feel so much better, we're not always going to make the right choice. And then we may feel the repercussions of that, right? And so I think it's important to set the expectation that we're all at some point in time going to not meet our own expectation for something, because that's life, right? Like, we're going to stay up too late. We're going to slide off in another way, maybe with nutrition. And if that happens, it doesn't mean we're pushed in a black hole. It might feel like it, right?
Yeah.
And you also mentioned something else that's very important, that there are some individuals, it's a lot harder to get out of that hole.
Well, especially if you go in it over and over again, it's not as easy as the first time or the second time or the third time. It's quite rough. Some people are slow learners.
And so how willing is somebody to make the true changes that can impact their life and their journey, right? Are they motivated enough to not feel horrible anymore, or to be able to play with their kids or grandkids, right? For me, it was thinking, I'm not going to be able to walk. That was terrifying for me. Mm-hmm. Or being tied to a dialysis machine like my dad was. And like, that's written in the stars, according to several specialists. They told me, like, I can't outrun it. And I don't agree with that, right? And it's there, right? So we could have something going on, and we need to pay attention to it, but there's so many different ways that we can switch to a different road and calm the terrain that mm-hmm. might.
And I tell practitioners too, like, you don't need to have arrived. You just have to be on your health journey, and that's enough. Cause there's nothing like teaching a weight loss, challenge, and you're fat. I'm like, I look more like my before picture than my after, but I'd still make myself do it. And it's like, all right, I'm just going to do it with you guys. Let's do it together. You know? So there's been many times where, especially with a primary immunodeficiency, there's like a lot of inflammation and a lot of illness and things like that. And times I feel better or I feel worse, but, how to still show up, in that state. I purposely, even though it was uncomfortable, I decided to be transparent about it instead of hiding it. And so I think that has actually served other people well.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though it'd be much easier to pretend it's not there and doesn't exist. but I think when it comes to, like, for practitioners building their own business, like, being who you are and being honest, that's like the easiest brand to build. And then I think your patients do appreciate it. So even like I mentioned weight, because I have obesity on both sides of my family, and it's been like an up and down challenge my whole life. Different reasons, you know, sometimes it's things I'm doing, sometimes it's health stuff, you know, different things playing into when it's not on the good side. And yeah, there's been a couple times where it's like, oh, forget it. You know, I just want to hide and go stick my head in the sand. But I always tell practitioners, you know, when you care more about the patient or the thing you're doing, what you believe in, like when you focus on that versus yourself, you become very powerful. And so whenever I would do that, I'd be able to still show up for the patients, and then my own health would benefit too, because I always have to model it. So that is a good advantage of being in functional medicine. It's like, we don't just work in a cubicle in an IT factory and no one cares if we get to be 400 pounds and illness can be, we're like in the realm. So health mm-hmm. challenges or not, we signed up for a lifelong journey of working on ourselves. So I think that's a good job to have.
I agree. And I'm a fan of transparency, and I'm the first to tell the patients that I work with that, like, if I've had dairy, which I'm dairy free 99.9% of the time, which is not dairy free if I'm doing that, but sharing those feelings of going to a restaurant and feeling we're so restricted, because I do have a very restrictive way I eat, but I don't feel restricted most of the time because I love what I'm eating, but there are times it gets to me. So mm-hmm. I feel like it really jives with so many people to see, like, we're real, like, we're real people. We're not saying, go do this. This is your problem. But hey, like, I have similar issues with doing those things too. And sometimes I stay up too late, right?
It's just like the personal trainer. Like, for me, if I have a personal trainer who's always been fit in shape and did, you know, triathlons versus the one who struggled to get off the couch, that's what I want, you know. She knows the journey, and so that's great. It's super
they understand.
Yes.
I want to make sure we have enough time to touch on what you've created, the Functional Medicine Academy.
Sure.
What inspired you to create this platform? It's and what are some of its core objectives?
Well, one of the reasons is because I just felt there was a need. I went through IFM too, as you mentioned. I taught a class for them, and I loved it. It was a good experience. I did it really fast. I was so glad I was already years into practice versus doing it at the beginning. I think that would have been much harder. But there was a lot of, like, practical application and certainly business building that I didn't find there. And so I wanted to be able to share that. And I've always loved to teach. I mean, I've just been coaching and consulting for 3 decades. So no matter where I was in life, I was doing that. So part of that was natural. And then it happened, actually, there was 2 guys that weren't very nice and told me I couldn't do it, and that there was no room, because I'm the only female leader teaching at this level, and there's no room for a woman at this level. And one teaches, like, illegal things that puts your license at risk, and that really bothers me. And when I confronted them, it was like, well, you don't get it, and, you know, if you can't handle this risk, and then you can't be a player, you know, just all this, like, bro talk. And it was just really not cool, sort of behind the scenes. I didn't like it. It was ugly. And so I was like, well, that's it. So yeah, those two negative experiences were certainly very inspiring. So I took my content and launched it online and started teaching. And I was still running my clinic at the time, so I just did it part-time, but was having a good result with the practitioners I worked with. I created the certification first, which is a very focused, practical, incredibly in-depth certification for how to have a functional medicine practice, what to do clinically, but none of the fluff. So you just, like, get in, you know what to do with a patient on Monday when they walk in, right? So I did that first. And then I created a mentorship after that. And then, and I created the mentorship just because I found people needed more support. So when I was doing private coaching and consulting, it just got to be too expensive. You know, people wanted to ask a question every other day, and that got really expensive over the course of a month. So I created a group program where you could still get your questions answered and get individual support. And then I launched the practice plan last May, and it's done over 5 million in sales. It's very successful. And the promise of that program is, we get you functional medicine certified, your practice launched and earn your first 100K in 5 months or less, and it's guaranteed. And I interviewed hundreds, now thousands of practitioners to find out where they got stuck. And we're not stagnant. Like, we created a pediatrics, the world's first functional medicine pediatrics certification in January. And we're doing about to do advanced hormones, and I'll teach them, you know, how to market and how to grow their practice without social media, with social media, branding, legal, accounting, financing, logos, you know, you name it, we have everything in it. And so it's a lot more work to do that. So I think that's why other people don't do it. Like, we have one-on-one coaches, we have support calls multiple times every single day. But I just know what it was like to start a practice, and I wanted people to have incredible success. Like, most of my practitioners say, like, it's impossible not to succeed. That's what I wanted. Because usually when programs are made, they're made for the go-getters that are always the star students. And I wanted one that caught everyone, like, scooped them up. Who gets dragged behind? Who falls through the cracks? Like, what would it take to take anyone and make them successful? And so that's what had me create the practice plan. Like I said, it definitely costs more to have that much support in, but I truly think it's what people need, that they're not meant to be in isolation and do this on their own, and they need support and community, and they need expert advice, and they need clinical consults. We multiple every single day of the week. I mean, it's just an insane amount of support. And if those in the mentorship, they get our Lab DX software for free. So that's a really nice bonus. And one of the big rubs with being a practitioner is the amount of time it takes to analyze labs. You know, you could have a patient come in and 5 different labs and 70 markers each. And I remember my very first patient, I spent like 10 hours going over like in-depth exam and all their history and every lab marker and checking every contraindication. And so I built the first one for myself. You know, it was just selfish, right? So I built the first one for myself with blood markers, and it was great. Used it with thousands of patients. And I had friends just saying, I'll give you $5,000 for this right now. And I was like, I don't have something to sell you. And so I decided I would budget $12,000 in 3 months, and I'd hire a software developer and just build one that other people could use. And so 4 years and 100 grand later, it was ready. It was just so much work, but it's got, you know, we've got genetics in there. We've got hormones in there. We've got Dutch, we've got GI map and GI effects and metabolomics, which is like 155 markers, and IBS testing and SIBO testing and urinalysis, you know, just all the things I wanted that doesn't exist anywhere else. And it says what, you know, what the marker means, red flags that you need to watch for it or refer out, therapeutic interventions, you know, ingredients or, you know, protocols or remedies you might want to consider, and then actual supplements by name and dosage. So it's very complete, and no more having to chart. You can just take the PDF and put it right in the patient's chart. So we launched that last fall, and it's been really successful. And it's just,
that's got to be a huge time saver.
It's a practitioner's tool. It's a total geeky tool built. It's exactly for what a practitioner has to do. It's 100% built for that. Big time saver.
Yes, because I know, personally speaking, I can spend hours upon hours going through things. I mean, I want to know what's going on. I need to pull everything together. And it's very important, all the testing that I do or previous testing. Like you mentioned, a thick stack of here's my records for the past 10 years. Yeah. I too have a lot of highly complex individuals. I feel like people gravitate to those that are complex themselves.
Well, what happens is you help one and then they go tell everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I am definitely a fan of education, a forever learner. And I have a lot of practitioners who listen to this show, and many are seeking ways to expand their knowledge and services. So how does the Functional Medicine Academy empower healthcare professionals to build and scale their businesses effectively?
We're honestly the only one out there who has scaled to over $1 million a month, and we teach everything we do. So whether a practitioner wants to have a simple practice and earn a couple hundred thousand a year or a couple million a year or a couple million a month, we've got it. We know how to do it. And so we put our money where our mouth is. We spend over $100,000 a year on our own coaching and consulting, always making sure we're cutting edge. It might be over 200 a year now, but we send our executive team to advanced trainings. These don't even exist in functional medicine. No one operates at a level higher than us. So we have to go outside the realm and just grab the pieces we can to use. And how can I filter it and tweak it and bring it back to my practitioners? And then I have them at different like cohorts of where they're at, you know, brand new and just getting started. And, you know, they're such a newbie and they're just learning functional medicine. Like they heard the term yesterday for the first time and they've never owned a business versus they're already in practice and they're successful. But that just means they have a lot of patients. They're not making a lot of money. Their life is crazy and chaos. Their calendar's overfull. I love to teach them how to be able to take a month off at a time. or maybe they've even like hit a million a year in a practice, but they want to scale it and they don't know how because they've hit a ceiling. They've run out of their own time. So no matter where they're at, we have a program and a crew ready to help them. We have a staff of about 40 people. So like I say, every day it's an amazing team. I'm not doing this alone. We're absolutely dedicated to their success. And so we have incredible things built in. And we answer every issue they have. And then we just go out and find even better solutions or solve any new problems that come up.
Well, and when you have a team around you to lean on to ask questions, that kind of support, like you said, that doesn't exist anywhere else that I've seen.
No, it doesn't, because it's expensive.
Yes.
But it's what's needed to be successful.
You're absolutely right. And I've got an extensive functional medicine friends, like a network, lots of individuals, everybody like trying to find their way, right? Because it is still so new. It is and it isn't, right? It's been going on for a while, but it's really becoming a lot more mainstream now. But like where I live, there's not very many individuals that do what I do.
Yeah.
And it's so there's like a hole, like in and I can't see everybody because I'm one person.
Right. Absolutely. That's why I tell them there's no competition, right? You don't need an extensive, I was just showing my patient, you know, like my pediatricians who are used to having like 3,000 to 10,000 patient panel. I was like, look, you could have 400 patients, you're going to make well over 2 million. You know, like it just, they don't know how to run numbers. So try to show them. It's like, you can make more than you ever did before and have a life and only see patients 2 days a week. And you know, it's so much better, but people don't know what they don't know until you show them. Right. But yeah, they're in classes. They have all these live classes they can support, you know, jump into, and their support calls. These are not lecture classes. This is like live coaching in the moment. So you get your questions answered. It's really awesome. You learn from everyone else, you connect. And then we do 2 live masterminds a year. So we're about to have one in April, second week of April. And I love that because everyone comes to me here. So they all fly into Cancun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it's a real blast. We spend 5 days together right on the beach, all-inclusive resort. And some of the most advanced training you can have, like I fly in my no-charge consult expert, one of the best experts in the world out of the UK. I'll fly him in and share him with my practitioners. I spend over $100,000 a year to talk to this guy, right?
Oh,
so
wow.
I fly him in and he'll train my people. And then I'll fly in one of my marketing experts from Canada, you know, who I've used. So, you know, I always tell my practitioners, listen, I'll save you a lot of money. Let me go spend the money, find out who's good or not. don't waste your money, because people waste a lot of money on like a website and marketing and branding and legal and all sorts of stuff. I had one practitioner, she was going to have to pay an attorney a $6,000 retainer in order to answer a simple question I could answer. And I'm like, I'm not an attorney, but here's your answer. Go look and then go run it by your attorney, you know, but $6,000 to answer this simple question, you know? So yeah, we save people a lot of money.
Well, and that's the location I want to learn in.
Yeah. Why not?
I've never experienced anything like that. On the beach. That's
yeah.
I'm going to learn better on the beach.
The water's like the color of my glasses.
I love that.
And it's just amazing food and amazing weather. And we had such a good time. We did one last November. We all went to this amazing eco park here and just had a beautiful experience together. So
how does Dr. Z maintain balance in her life with all of the amazing things that you're doing?
I know everyone thinks I work so hard, but I really don't. It's definitely work to get something new going. You know, whether it's a new practice or you do a new launch, there's always like a focused time. And I'm fine with that. What I can't do is I can't put forth that energy all the time. Like I would never be able to sustain that. And I've tried different ones. You know, some people are like, do this kind of marketing every single day and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've tried that. It's too draining for me. I need to like pop in, show up, teach some classes, then get out. You know, I need recovery time. So whatever their personality is and whatever their limits are, I have a solution for it. And so for me, that's what I do. You know, so I love the live retreat, but I do it twice a year. I don't do it every day. So it's an absolute blast, but you know, like I said, it's not every month. And then I do like coaching clinic Wednesday nights. I do open office hours on Fridays. So we have tons of classes, but we have a big team leading it. So I'm not all doing it. I've trained everyone and we have an insane amount of ongoing training. So our entire staff gets trained every single day, but I don't have to do all of it. So like in the beginning, our coaches, I had to train them. Then my COO trained them, you know, so it's like it passes. We build the team and then we pass it down. Now we have a lead who does the training. Same with our practice advisors, our operations staff, you know, our lab DX team, all of those. So there's always like effort to get it going. And then you have like, this is scalability. Systems and operations is everything. And that gives you your freedom. And because I deal with an immunodeficiency, you know, bless my team. They're amazing. If I try not to ever miss a class, sometimes it happens, but if I miss a class, they'll take it over. And let me tell you, if I miss a class, three of them will show up to teach it. So if I ever miss one, three of them are in there to do it. They're so awesome. But yeah, if something goes wrong and I'm sick, I've got a whole team, everything keeps running. Like that's the difference between being a technician, like you're a practitioner, and nothing happens without you. Mm-hmm. It's a solo entrepreneur versus running a business. So I can take off a whole month and leave and my business still runs. And so that's all about systems. And that's actually one of our five pillars. So can I just tell you what they are real quick?
Yes.
So you don't have to like sign up to hear it, but I'll just tell you what they are. So whether you work with us or you work with someone else, everyone has to build out these five pillars. So the first one is lead generation. That's how you're going to get your new patients. So there's no practice without it. And most people, that's their fear. How do I get new patients? And they're clueless for how to do it. And they often waste a lot of money there. But it's very important. The key to that is consistent lead generation you can count on. So you need to build a lead generating machine. It's one of the first things we do with all of our clients. The second one is sales and offer. So offer, if you haven't heard that term before, that's like how you bundle your services together. And is there anything else in your office that you operate, or if you're doing telemedicine or whatever it is, but that's what offer means. And you have to have a great offer. So you can be a sort of semi-shitty marketer and have a great offer and still survive. But if you're a great marketer and it's a crummy offer, that business is not going to last, right? So I have a very unique formula. I spent a fortune learning it. I just got to be honest. And I wrote it all down. I pulled the best of everything out there. And it's called How to Create Your Offer, 8-page handout. I always tell people it's worth the cost of the whole program. It's what I use every time I create an offer. The last offer I created did 5 million in sales in less than a year.
Wow.
5 months, 6 months or something. So very important to have a good offer. And then sales is how do you sign people up? So a lot of us do a no charge consult. There's many different ways to sign people up, but you have to have a method that's reliable. And then when I work with practitioners, do you want to be the person always signing someone up, or eventually do you want other people to do it? I can teach you either one. So that's pillar number two. Pillar number three is back end and admin. That's the part that seems boring, but that's where the gold is. That's where the freedom is. That's your admin staff, how things run, the systems, what allows you to go on vacation. The next pillar is clinical care. That's the one everyone focuses on. That's what everyone loves. I always try to tell them that's one out of five pillars, people. We have to do the other four also. But clinical care and besides learning the amazing functional medicine, like I said, some of us love to go down the rabbit hole, we still have to be efficient in care. We get more time than ever with our patients, but to have a practice that can scale, which means to grow and sustain, last 5, 25 years, whatever you want, you still have to have an efficient practice model. So that's very important. And then the last one, which most people never get to, is leadership and management. And that's where you take off the hat of just being a solo entrepreneur and you become a CEO, which is amazing. And it's where you deal with like finance and legal, you know, the boring stuff, right? But it's also where you build a model of scalability and where do you want to take your practice. Like I'm showing them, I think 8 different models at the next mastermind. They can just pick and choose which one they want. And it's exactly what to do. Because it's just like functional medicine, right? Our patients, we're not going to do it all the same. And so we have to build the practice for ourselves first. So we're happy and patients second. I know it's weird to hear that, but it's just true.
Well, we have to take care of ourselves. So if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take after anybody else.
Absolutely. I just think that most practitioners, they get in that self-sacrificing mode and they don't realize that that self-care that you have to do to show up has to apply to your practice. It can't just all be serving for the patient. I know it's something I've had to work on. It's just a natural default, right? You want to take care of them. You'll show up and do anything for them, but we have to build it for ourselves first and them second.
Well, Dr. Z, this has been an awesome conversation. How can the listeners learn more about the program, learn more about you? What's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Probably the easiest to remember is to go to thedrz.com, thedrz.com. So that's one of the easiest way to find us. Our phone number's there, our email. You can schedule, have a consult or something. And you can also go to thepracticeplan.com and see some videos I have that talk a little bit more about what I said about the practice plan and some of our other things like our RX5 formula. And but yeah, thedrz.com is probably the easiest.
I will link all of that up in the show notes in case anybody didn't have a notebook handy. This has been wonderful. Any closing thoughts, any last things we didn't talk about that you want to make sure the listeners know?
Oh, I think it's so great. Anyone listening that's putting like time and energy into their education and searching for community, and just don't give up on that. Keep getting connected. Like some of these other practitioners, they're going to become your best friends, which I think is so lovely. And you're doing two extraordinary things, right? You're already doing functional medicine, which is, you know, different than conventional medicine. So you're already being awesome and a pioneer there, but now you're also being an entrepreneur. So in two areas, you're a unique person. So you want to hang out, you want to cultivate with these things, these people. And I know some of the spaces, like we have our own Facebook group and it's completely different. But I know some of the spaces people don't encourage asking questions, or they might try to make you feel dumb because you don't know something. And just if that happens, ignore them, delete them, you know, block the haters, block the trolls, just ignore all that. That's usually someone else's insecurity, but just keep showing up and asking the questions. And I love functional medicine. I just think it's an awesome ride from a patient experience and from a practitioner and what it's done for my family. So super grateful.
And on that note, I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Drop me a comment and let me know what you think. If you learned something today, share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker. If you're not already subscribed to the show, hit that follow button along with the notification bell so you never miss an episode. If you have an idea for a show, follow the links below. I would love to hear from you. If you're not currently receiving my newsletter, click on the links so that you can be added to the list. Every Friday, I send out tips, tricks, information that truly matters. Follow the link so you don't miss out. I have some really exciting news, friends. I asked and you answered. I'm speaking now to my perimenopause and menopause friends. You want to better understand how to navigate this time in your life. I'm in the process of building out a transformative masterclass on this very subject. There will be a limited number of seats available and special beta pricing. This is a great opportunity to be a part of the process. What questions do you have? What are you experiencing throughout this transition phase? What concerns do you have? If you're interested in learning more about this opportunity, click the link in the show notes so we can hop on a call together. I am very passionate about health and wellness, getting optimized. I've been on my own wellness journey for quite some time and want to bring as many people with me on this journey towards better health. Thanks so much for spending time with me today, and I will see you very soon. Bye, friends.